you know, you're born and raised in Alaska, in Juneau, but that you've spent a lot of time in California, and now you're back in Alaska. And I was just wondering, you know, how being born and raised in Alaska has impacted your memoirs. I know that's a very broad question.
I think being born and raised in Alaska, although influential in, you know, the person I became, I think as a writer, it was my return to Alaska after such a long absence that actually shaped more of my literary efforts than the beginning of my life. It was when I returned that I feel that the story shaped.
And go ahead and tell me why you came back.
I was gone for 25 years, and not a day went by that I didn't long for home, and I didn't keep in touch with anyone at home. I never came back to Alaska, not even one time, although not a day went by that I didn't dream of it, imagine it, and plan it, and tried a few times. And finally, when I turned 40, my life was in shambles in California, and I decided it was time to answer the call that had been on my mind for all those years.
Can you describe what that call felt like?
The phrase that I always use when I describe it is, I said to myself, let me go home or let me die with my thoughts facing north.
And where in California were you?
I was in the Sierra Nevada foothills and San Francisco. Both, I went back and forth between the two areas, and I finally realized in retrospect that what I had been doing was trying to put the mountains and the ocean together the way they belong.
And then your memoirs, I mean, how much do they focus on your childhood? How much do they focus on your time in California? And how much do they focus on, you know, your life coming back to Alaska?
I would say Blonde Indian focuses quite a bit on my childhood. It's in four sections, and the beginning, of course, talks about the land and my childhood growing up, and then I believe it's the third section that focuses quite a bit on my time in California, and throughout there are other strands, nature writing and fiction strand. In Dell of Raven, which I consider my sophomore book, even though I'd written some other things, in Dell of Raven, I do talk some about my childhood and tell more stories. However, it's Dell of Raven is more on my life after I came back home.
We know that you are going to be here Friday for a meet and greet, and then you're also going to do a workshop. I would love to get a sense of what you want to talk about at the meet and greet.
Well, I usually try to allow myself to be guided by community interest and community preferences, and sometimes at receptions, we just talk and visit. Sometimes I do readings. Sometimes I have an opportunity to invite people to the workshops that are occurring in the next day or two. So I just, you know, bring my books and bring my writing and a couple of visual aids and respond to the community interest.
Absolutely. And then, you know, yes, we've talked about memoirs, and you mentioned a little bit about how you will fictionalize some of that, or you'll add fictional elements to your memoirs. Yeah, give me a sense of what are some of the, some literary motifs that you really gravitate towards or images you really gravitate towards What are those ways that you bring these memoirs really to life?
Well, in Blonde Indian, I write quite a bit. I focus a good deal on nature writing, on the land, on place, on the rhythm of the return. For example, the glaciers retreat and return, the forests retreat and return, the salmon, the return and of the salmon, the salmon and cycle and its relation to bears. And so that natural rhythm of return is repeated in my story of my return, and I tried to write about those experiences so that they can be related by the reader. And Blonde Indian mainly focuses on quite a bit of nature writing, in addition to the memoir strand and the fictional strand. In Dell of Raven, there's a fictional strand based on, as all fiction is, based on truth. And I made some adjustments and changed a few things to illustrate what I wanted as a comparison to this story of Raven and the Box of Daylight. And the main message, or what I was trying for in Dell of Raven, was to bring out the similarities between the decisions and that Raven made in his story of how he brought us light, and the teachings and advice that can be read in Sun Tzu's Art of War.
In Art of War, yeah. So you incorporated these two very different literary works together. I mean, how did you relate those two? Were you trying to relate those two to your own life? Like, in what aspect?
I made a point of describing some of circumstances that Raven came upon and the decision that he made and the way that he made them. And then I brought lessons from Sun Tzu and advice to his generals. And usually it wasn't really evident in my life. You know, I've lived a life where my decisions were not based on taking good advice or making good choices and contemplating things for the first many, many years of my life. And so there's not a lot of examples of how I made use of that advice. But looking back, I can see where it would have been good advice, and I'm certainly following some of those tenets now.
And then, you know, just go ahead and tell me a little bit about your workshop. I'm very curious to know, for people that might be interested in this, what they can expect and, you know, what they should bring for this.
Oftentimes when I go to a community and do workshops, it's separated into two different days, and we're modifying that a bit and offering them in one day in Wrangell. And so we're going to do exercises and sharing our interests in writing, and I will offer tips and techniques, writing techniques, and we'll do exercises and read them to one another in the first session. And then we'll have a break where people, if they want, can either write in response to one of the exercises or prompts that we give, or they can bring something that they've previously written to the next session. And at the next session, we will read our work aloud to one another, only one or two pages, and we'll do an on-the-spot face-to-face active workshopping where we point out the strengths and offer our questions and some suggestions possibly on rearranging or syntax or the most important thing besides pointing out strengths and appreciating each other's work is when the reader, or the, in this case the listener, has questions and perhaps doesn't clearly follow what the writer intends. And so that's one of the most important parts of that step, is if there's something we don't understand that the writer wants us to understand, then that's a very good subject for workshop. Then in the third and final session, after another little break, we'll be reading our words and our work, hopefully to guests and visitors and people we've invited to come listen to what we've written and what we've produced and what we've created.
Yeah, this sounds amazing. It sounds like a great opportunity for all the writers in Wrangell. And yeah, and what I'm gathering is that, you know, if somebody is working on some short piece, they should go ahead and bring it with them. But for people that don't have that piece in mind, you know, they'll be giving prompts to respond to, and to, you know, they'll still be able to workshop it just as, you know, a writer that is bringing in their a piece they've already had for a while, that they'll get the same experience.
Yes, that's absolutely correct. And a lot of times during these workshops that I visited in lots of different communities in Alaska, the most important thing, the most important consequence of getting together and sharing our work and discussing creative writing is that people go away with a renewed intent and purpose to pick up their writing again. A lot of times we'll go to a workshop and I'll hear, well, I haven't done much writing in a long time. And that's a common experience for writers. And a lot of times workshop participants will go away with that renewed purpose. And so that's what I'm hoping for. In addition, we're having a local writer. It's always really helpful and meaningful when local writers can come join me in offering tips and so on to the participants. And Vivian Faith Prescott, a published poet, will join me, and she'll be giving tips on poetry.
Okay, absolutely. And which that's very cool that, you know, she's a poet, and that you focus on memoirs. You know, prose and poetry are very different. I think that will help people out a lot. Yeah, and you know, she hosts an open mic down here, and I, you know, I played the first one, and then she's asked me since, and I said, well, I can't because I haven't written new material. So hopefully the workshop, you know, I'll have, like you said, I'll have a renewed interest, a renewed urge. Yeah,
that's right.
Okay, and then last question, you know, on that note of, you know, getting your interest in writing and, you know, actually pursuing it in a thoughtful manner. Just tell me a little bit how you came to writing. I know that you got your MFA a little later in life. So tell me, you know, had you always been writing, or is this really something that came to you, you know, later in your adulthood?
Well, I was the only child of a single mother. It was just my mother and me in territorial Alaska. I was born at the end of the Second World War, and we didn't have television. We had occasional radio programs, and that was it. My mother always had a book or a magazine in her hand when she wasn't playing Canasta or Pinochle or crib with family and friends when it was just her and me, she had a book in her hand, and because it was just her and me, I took up reading as well, and I read my way through all the books in the library, the little local library here in Juneau. And the best way to become a writer is to be a reader, and that's I just always fancied I could write all those years, because that's a natural path for readers, and that's how I started writing.
You know, at what age did you, you know, start writing, I guess, so much so that you thought, you know, I am a writer?
Well, I went to California when I was 15, and I left when I was 40. And during that time, of course, I continued reading and I continued writing, and I fancied that I was writing poetry, and I wrote a couple of books of fiction, and I fancied myself a writer. But I didn't really begin writing in earnest until I started college in 1995 at the age of 50, and I learned discipline. And when I learned discipline, I began writing in an organized way, and I learned the three most important rules of writing and followed them as seriously as I could and still do. And so I didn't really consider myself someone who wrote until probably I was close to finishing my bachelor's.
Okay, absolutely. And what are those three rules?
The three rules of writing are revision.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. That works.
All right. You're welcome.